Our gospel today reveals Jesus' identity as the Son of God. The voice of the Father says, "You are my beloved Son." And so what Jesus is by nature, we become through the grace of our own baptism. So when we're baptized, we become, through adoption, the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And that means we're not only brought into relationship with our Heavenly Father, but we're united in a relationship with each other. We become brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, united together in the one mystical body of Christ, the Church. And this reality should shape our view of others in a very fundamental and a very powerful way, recognizing the sacredness of the people who are around us. You know, our fellow parishioners who are sitting next to us in the pews and our family members, you know, we are united together as brothers and sisters into Jesus Christ. We are part of the mystical body of Christ. And if we can recognize that in others, that it's going to have a profound effect on the way that we treat others. And those who are not baptized, they're still called by God to be baptized. And they have an inherent dignity because of who we're created to be and who our Creator is. And so within a Christian society, it should be marked by that spirit of brotherhood and that recognition of the sacredness of the people around us. And that should be reflected in our families, in our local communities, and in our nation as a whole. Now, this foundation of mutual respect is deteriorating in many ways around us. You know, and part of that is just a loss of the of Christianity and the respect for the sacredness of all life that Christianity brings. You know, the violence that we saw at the Capitol this past week is not a good sign for our country. And I don't think that it's just an isolated event that we can just move on from. I think it's a symptom of deeper problems. And the most insightful observation that I think I heard all this week is that in combination with what happened at the Capitol, plus a lot of the violence and the rioting in the cities of our country this past year, that this is a warning to the leaders across all spectrums of society. That there is, across the political spectrum, from left to right, a deep distrust in our institutions. Whether it's the police, whether it's the media, whether it's big business, whether it's politicians, whether it's the integrity of our election system, whether it's our universities, whether it's the church, that there is a deep distrust in all of these institutions. And it's a warning sign to our leaders that they need to act very decisively to restore trust in these institutions so that people recognize that they are working for the good of others and not for their own interests. How is it that trust is restored? You know, part of that, and it's not the whole thing, but one piece of this is that we need to recover the mutual respect that we need to have for our fellow man. You know, people are entitled to their beliefs. And no matter what their beliefs are, we still respect the person. And that doesn't mean that we agree with their beliefs on everything. We may or we may not. And it's okay to have disagreements about different beliefs. But we should never correct anyone or enter into any dialogue unless there's first mutual respect. Because without that respect, it's just going to be two people fighting with each other. Or who can scream louder. Or who can try and manipulate the other person into believing what they believe. But once there's mutual respect in a relationship, then people can debate. And they can even debate strongly and passionately on moral issues. And that is good and that's necessary in public life. And we're called to be Christian witnesses. So it is important for us to be doing that and to be leading other people to Jesus Christ and to the truth. But only if there is first a foundation of mutual respect. And if that foundation isn't there, then that foundation needs to be built first before we can then go on to authentic dialogue in a productive way. We need leaders in our country and at all levels of society who are willing to set that example of respect, because that respect is breaking down across wide areas of our society. You know, we can see this on social media. You know, when there's not that person-to-person connection, you know, people can make very, very angry and crazy comments. You know, if you look at the comments section, sometimes it's like, what's going on here? Well, what's going on is mutual respect isn't there. You know, the demonstrations that we saw in 2020 in many of our cities, you know, a lot of people felt that they were abused or treated unjustly by the police. And I'm sure that there are many police officers that felt that they had been abused by the people that they were called to serve. You know, mutual respect was broken, and that needs to be restored. And it's not restored when people silence the opposition. It's restored when people listen to the legitimate grievances of others and can enter into dialogue and come to a place of mutual respect to work through those issues. You know, the rhetoric that we hear from Trump, from Pelosi, from Schumer, there's constant barbs and attacks against each other, and it's very disrespectful. And that rhetoric has alienated a lot of people that may otherwise be more engaged in the political system. And our leaders can't stoop to that level. You know, when people are in high office, they need to rise above the fray and above the chaos and set a higher standard of conduct. You know, the disrespect that we've seen in the media, they have, for the past 4 years, attacked the president hatefully and relentlessly for 4 years. The behavior of the mainstream media has been shameful in our country. You know, what good is the freedom of press if it's used as a weapon to attack and to slander others that we don't agree with? That's not the purpose of the freedom of press. We're in a situation now in our country where tens of millions in the electorate think that there was widespread fraud in the election, and they think that the election was stolen. And a lot of politicians in the mainstream media have tried to silence that and dismiss those concerns as being illegitimate. You know, authentic leaders need to step up and listen respectfully to the concerns of the people that they serve, and they need to respond. You know, tens of millions of people think that Biden is an illegitimate president, and he needs to recognize that and step up. And if he wants to heal this nation, as he says, and bring people together, he needs to reestablish trust in our election system and build the trust that's necessary with his people. We can't just sweep issues like this under the surface. We need to step up, and our leaders at the state level and at the federal level need to reinstill faith in our election system. That's true and authentic leadership. You know, this conflict and disrespect that we see at higher levels within society is filtering down, and it's polarizing a lot of relationships within our families and at the local level. And on our part, we can't fall into that. We need to recognize the dignity of every single person around us, even those that we disagree with. And if we can't do that, if we can't be respectful of people around us, regardless of what their beliefs are, then we are at fault. And we need to look at ourselves and first correct our own behavior before we'll be able to enter into a respectful and meaningful dialogue with others. We have a common enemy. Our enemy is not our countrymen. It's not our family members. It's not our fellow parishioners. It's not our neighbors. Our enemy is the Prince of Darkness, and he wants to sow discord amongst us, and we can't fall into that. And if our society continues to push to two extremes, I don't think anybody's going to like the outcome. But the alternative is for people of goodwill, who I truly believe are the majority, need to come together and to demand and to set an example of mutual respect and honorable behavior. No matter what happens, no matter what chaos happens within our country, you know, we need to hold the moral high ground and to keep our eyes firmly on Jesus Christ and the standard of behavior that he sets. And if the majority of people can come to that point, and those people who are sowing evil and discord on the fringes, and those people who want to oppress and take away the freedoms of others, they're going to be recognized for the evil that they're sowing and the disrespect that they're sowing within our country, if the majority of people can hold to the moral high ground. But as we celebrate today the feast of the baptism of our Lord, as Christians, it's an important reminder to us of the reality of the high human dignity that we all share in. And we need to recognize that dignity within ourselves and recognize it in all of the people who are around us. And allow that truth to penetrate deeply within us so that our behavior can exemplify the true respect and fellowship that we're called to in our relationship with others.